Jesus. But Peter is a major part of that by the place that the Lord has put him. He is the spokesperson, the man out front, whatever you want to call him. He is there, and I'm glad that God put him there. I mean, the Lord put him there. That impetuosity and that temperament, that character that he had even back during the days when he did some dumb things. Well, God can take that and use it, can he? He was able to get what his life was, change it, and make it something that it now should be. So anyway, let's look, if you will, at Acts chapter number 5. When you we've come up through some things with the church. Remember, the last big thing was that they had some problems, and the problems were from on the outside. Problems before, their attack was from the outside, and now we see that, you know, if the devil's trying to cause some issues, if the devil's trying to cause some problems in the church, if he can't get you from something from the outside, he'll try to bring up something from the inside. So that's kind of the route that this is taking. Here's what you see. Before, I mean, here's the religious Jews and their council and the Sanhedrin court, and Peter and John been called in because the man that was at the gate that had been healed, there he is, and they notice that, well, a miracle's been done. What can we say about that? So all of that has gone on. All that has transpired. But that didn't work. What'd they do? They went back. If you remember the last study that we did, they got encouraged by prayer and the unity of the church. The body came together. They prayed about it. They said, fellas, they're telling us we can't preach, we can't teach, can't do anything in the name of Jesus. So what are we going to do? They said, we're just going to keep on doing it. And they got together and they prayed. They found the power of God. They were anointed from on high. And then you see in the end of chapter number 4, it says there, here they are. They've gone out and said in verse number 33, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And there were some great things that began to happen in the early church. So I say that point from being attacking from without wasn't working. But look at chapter number 5, if you will, now. And let's talk about that for a few minutes, the first 11 verses, if we can go through that. It says in verse number 1, but a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye have sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you've agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet, yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and as many as heard these things. Let's have another word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, for this evening. Thank you for your love and your mercy on us again. Thank you for the Word of God. I pray now just help us as we look through it. I pray you just give us some wisdom and some understanding and some instruction from it, and help us to see you and how you're honored by our lives, and how we pray not to dishonor you, but I pray that we'd just give you everything that we have, as to give you our hearts, our souls, our lives, and to come before you in a clean and a pure way, in a way where you can use us and be honored with us as her servants. And we'll thank you again for what you do tonight, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Well, as I said, you notice this is the way this thing is going. I mean, this is how everything has fallen out. Thank you, Brother Larry. How everything has fallen out, that we've got these this situation. And what I want to title this tonight, what I want to talk about is hypocrisy rears its ugly head. I mean, there's the point of this whole thing in these first 11 verses is that you see the fact of hypocrisy. And let me tell you, hypocrisy can be anywhere. I mean, you know, we talk about, people say, well, I'd go to church there, but there's a bunch of hypocrites. You know what? Somebody, one old-fashioned preacher, hey, buddy, come on, one more ain't going to hurt. Amen? So you might as well just get used to it and realize there are always going to be some hypocritical folks in and with the church. You're not going to get away from the fact of hypocrisy, but the best thing you can do is don't be one of the hypocrites. Amen? Don't be part of the thing that's going on as far as the hypocrisy of the church. I mean, here are two people, Ananias and Sapphira, and they are trying to become important in the eyes of others. And that's the idea of the whole situation. You see that it is an issue of pride. It's an issue of being lifted up. It's an issue of wanting to be seen and noticed and all of that. And brother, all that boils down to is an issue of pride. Now the Bible tells us, and doesn't tell us necessarily a whole lot about this, but it's talking about how that in chapter 4, how that they are meeting everybody's needs by giving. That they talk about the unity of the church and how that they have this spirit and how that they said nothing is just belongs to me. If I've got something, you have need of it. They're sharing and they're working with each other. They're helping each other, and you see the power that there is and the blessing that there is in that. And then it talks about those that had what they ever had as a possession. If they had houses or lands, and they sold them, brought the price of it, and they laid them at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made in verse 35 unto every man according as he had need. So if somebody had a piece of property or a house or whatever, it might have been cattle, could have been anything, and they sold that, they brought that money willingly and they just offered it before the apostles. They said, here's what we got, let's make distribution, let's help everybody, let's not let anybody come up lacking. So that's what they've been doing. And then the Bible tells us there's a certain man in verse number 36, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So that's the last example that you've got, or the last thing that you notice before this story of Ananias and Sapphira. You got this story of a man who is a Levite, and he has sold some property, and he has brought that money and offered it to the apostles. He said, here's this, and this is what I sold my property for. And probably because of that, because you see how that Luke has noted it here, there's probably some notoriety that's gone with that. I mean, they were probably talking about him. When they got to church, somebody probably said, boy, did y'all hear what Barnabas did? Oh, Barnabas sold his property. He brought all that money in. He's laid it down there, and he's letting them take that, and they're spending it, and they're giving it, they're helping others. And somehow, Ananias and Sapphira hear that, and a plan is developed in their heart to lie to the church and to the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't understand that. I don't get it. And you'd say, well, preacher, maybe it was going to do something for them. And obviously, it's what they wanted. They wanted some kind of recognition. They wanted some kind of special thing. And again, I don't know why they didn't give it all. I don't know why they didn't just come in and say, we're giving part. I mean, they could have done a lot of things, but they became the hypocrites. They became the hypocrites. So let's look at that first, if you will. Let's just notice, and just kind of the way that we'll go through here is that look in verse number 1, though. If you look in verse number 1 in your Bible, I think it's real interesting. Look at the very first word in verse number 1. Now, you've just seen all of this stuff that Barnabas has done and probably others have done. And in verse number 1, it starts out and it says, But we've seen that word, that little conjunction, that little word that joins some things together. Hey, and right here, it's a big conjunction that has joined together some idea. Here's the idea of this is all going good, but. You know, here's a little shift. Here's a negative. Here's a backup. Here's something that's going off the track. And here we are with this idea. The Bible says, but. Boy, anytime you see something like that, you know, I told you, preached on before, when God butts in, amen, over there in Ephesians chapter number 2, God jumps in. When Paul talks about how wicked and how vile and how ungodly all of us were, and you go down to verse number 4 in chapter number 2, and it says, but God, who is rich in his great love, wherewith he loved us. Remember that? And that's when God kind of butted in. Well, here I want you to see the devil tries to butt in. The devil tries to butt in. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. Let's look, if you will, first of all, let's look at some of these characters that are involved. Let's look at the character. You see, well, I'm just going to say three main characters, really. You see Ananias, Sapphira, and the Lord. I mean, that's the three characters I want us to notice more than anything. I understand Peter's involved. I understand the other apostles are involved. But that's who I want you to look at with me tonight. And let's just see how all of this is working out. I mean, first of all, notice Ananias. And really, Ananias' name, and his name means God is gracious. God is great. Isn't that amazing that you've got a man whose name means God is gracious, or you could say it, the grace of God? I mean, what a name. Isn't that great? I think that'd be a great name for anybody to have, to recognize and notify everybody else that your name means the grace of God is apparent in my life. But can you imagine this? Here he is. I want to tell you, he's a hypocrite. I mean, his name says one thing, but his actions certainly say something else. If you're talking about the grace of God, boy, let me tell you something. The grace of God would save him. The grace of God would keep him. And the grace of God should allow him to come and be a truth teller and say, here's what I did, and I'm only giving you part of the money. But no, he had something else that the devil had hatched a scheme in his heart and in his wife's heart. And here's Ananias. As I say, he found out that God is gracious, but he also found out that God is just and God is holy through some of the things that began to happen here that we see coming up in this story. So, first of all, you see Ananias, and I say his name means God's gracious. And then second of all, you notice that it talks about his wife. Her name is Sapphira. Sapphira. And the name Sapphira means beautiful. And no doubt she's probably a good-looking woman to be around, good-looking woman with a pretty, attractive appearance, and here she is. But can I tell you something? She might have looked good on the outside, but her heart was rotten to the core. She was ugly on the inside because of what we read about her character and the conspiring that those two do together to deceive and to play the hypocrite in the church. And isn't that amazing how that happened? But I'm telling you now, let me just tell you, the church here in Jerusalem, that's not the only place hypocrites are, okay? That's not the only place you find the hypocrites in the Bible. That's not the only place you find hypocrites in history. That's not the only place that you'll find hypocrites that we can talk about from long ago. I'll guarantee you there are hypocritical folks in every Baptist, every Methodist, every Presbyterian, any kind of church you want to. I believe you can find some there today. Amen? I mean, anywhere you want to go, you're going to find some folks that have this hypocritical spirit. And I just think it's kind of interesting when you look at Barnabas, and as I say, we notice Barnabas at the end of chapter number 4. Barnabas is noted. Barnabas is named. Barnabas is even, stretched out a little information about it. It said he's called the son of consolation. That word to us would mean somebody that encourages others. And you can go through the rest of the Bible, and we will at times look at the life of Barnabas as he interacts with Paul the apostle, and even before that, but you'll see that he is an encourager. He's encouraging some things. He has brought this money, and he said, hey, here it is. I want to encourage somebody. I want to bless somebody. I want to help somebody. Now you've got a couple, and what are they? They're the hypocrites. And they're not trying to encourage people. They're trying to deceive people. They're trying to pull a fast one. They're trying to pull. And you say, well, preacher, what's the big deal about that? Well, Well, we're going to look at that, but listen, keep in mind that God still deals in honesty. God deals in being honest. And, you know, we can all be. We all play the hypocrite probably from time to time in our life. I mean, you know, we talk big and we say some things sometimes. Well, let me just tell you, friend, you just need to come clean with God and say, God, you know what Paul said? Paul said that Jesus Christ came in the world to save sinners. You know what he said beyond that? Of whom I am chief. He said, I'm the number one, I'm the all-time, I'm the biggest and worst sinner. And he said, I'm glad that Jesus came to save sinners. Amen. I was thinking about last week while Brother Dana Williams was here with us, and he was talking about when we had several preachers. He told me, he said, man, I love to preach to preachers. I said, oh, really? He said, yeah, I love to preach to sinners. Amen. So I said, yeah, you got that right. You got a whole room full of them here. So, amen. But, you know, we think sometimes, oh, this fellow's this and this woman's that and this guy's this. Yeah, well, you just better look out because there may be more than meets the eye. And that's exactly what happens in the life here of these two. So you see Ananias, you see Sapphira, but then I want you to notice that you also see the Lord. I mean, the Lord shows up in this. If you see that, as a matter of fact, Peter says there in verse number 3, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Why did he fill your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Isn't that amazing that Peter knew that? How did he know that? Because he knows the Lord. And God spoke to Peter in time past, hadn't he? Peter's had some real outstanding meetings with the Lord. And most of the time, Peter wound up on the short end of the stick in those meetings, didn't he? Remember that meeting there in John chapter 21 where Jesus asked him 3 times, lovest thou me? And I mean, Peter gets frustrated. You remember when Peter stands up and says, oh Lord, you're not going to die. Far be it from you. This is not going to happen to you. And Jesus looked at him and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. I mean, there's been some meetings between Peter and Jesus, and they didn't turn out too good for Peter, did they? I mean, things went south with him. But here, the Lord has revealed some things to him and shown him some things. And there's the Lord that is involved in the judging of these two that have come as hypocrites. And, you know, the Lord has done this previously in other places in Scripture. You think about when the children of Israel have gone into the promised land and Joshua is their leader, he takes them to that first city, Jericho, and God tells them, this is my city. If you go back and look at that, you'll see that God is claiming that as, if you want to look at it this way, he could be claiming that as the tithe. What happens first belongs to him. And he said, you go into that city and don't take anything. Don't get anything. And you remember the story? You remember the story? Achan goes in and he grabs some stuff and hides it in his tent, and everybody thinks everything's okay. Then they go out and try to conquer the next city, and Israel gets whipped and loses some men, and things begin to happen. And Joshua goes and begins to cry and say, God, what's happened? What's wrong? Are you with us? What's wrong? You know, he begins to be on the defensive, and the Lord said, I told you that you were not supposed. He said, there's some sin in the camp. And they find out, is that what happened? Unfortunately, and I'll tell you it's unfortunate, but sin is dealt with in a very harsh manner. And Achan has to die, and his whole family, and everything that he owns, and everything that's in his possession, it's all taken care of. Why? Because God is holy, his word is holy, and he expects me and you to listen to what he has to say. So that's one occasion, but you can also think about Nadab and Abihu, the two sons that are of Aaron, and they offer, the Bible says, some strange fire unto the Lord. And as they do that, they're offering something that's not what God has said. And as they do that, God judges them, and they both die. So I'm just telling you, God is a God of judgment. You say, oh, preacher, you're supposed to be preaching that God is love stuff. Well, let me just tell you, I'll preach God is love, but I've also got to give you the other side of it, because God is holy, God is righteous, and God is a God of justice. I'm glad he has mercy, but I'll tell you, the Bible still tells me that God is a God of justice. So, Here we are. I mean, that's the characters that you see, and their characteristics, if you will. You notice the first two there, Ananias and Sapphira, they are the conspirators against God and against His church. And then you see that the Lord Himself is the judge and corrector of this whole situation. God comes in and he changes some things around. Okay, so you notice that first, those characters. But second of all, notice this, if you will, the concept that is indicated. There's a concept here that God wants us to get a hold of. Well, what is it? It's hypocrisy. That's the concept that God's trying to get me and you, and we've already talked about it a little bit, haven't we? Hypocrisy. And the word hypocrite means simply a play actor. A play actor. You ever watch movies and TV shows and all, and you know what happens sometimes? Sometimes your favorite actor is portrayed as a bad guy. Does that upset y'all? I mean, does that just tear y'all out? You say, I seen a movie. Denzel Washington was a bad guy. And that made me mad. He's always a good guy. Well, hey, he's just play acting. I don't know what kind of guy he is. He usually plays the good guy. He usually has the smile. He usually is on the side of the good, but he could be on the, and I don't know what he is in real life. He's just a play actor. I don't know him at all. And you don't know. And I want to tell you, there's some folks like that in life sometimes. They play and they show something and they're there before you in face, but you really don't know what's going on in their hearts and their lives. I mean, you really can't tell it. I mean, play acting, the deliberate deception by trying to make people think that you are more spiritual than what you really are. That's exactly what Ananias and Sapphira are trying to do. They're trying to play up. Well, you know, over here Barnabas did this, and everybody's thinking, well, you think about us. Look what we're doing. We're way on up here too. They're trying to put on a show in front of everybody and say that they are something that they are not. God help me and you to just come humbly before Him and say, Lord, I'm nothing. I mean, I'm nobody, I'm nothing. All I'm doing is just trying to help people find the Lord and trying to help people understand what this Bible says. And God's just put me in that place, given me that position and that ability. And man, all I want to do is what the Lord would have me to do. But, you know, there's some folks that begin to start feeling their oats and they begin to think that they are more than what they are. Well, how does this happen? How does it happen? Here's the concept is hypocrisy. The concept of hypocrisy is just, you know, it's multiplied here for us. I mean, it's shown, it's kind of dramatized, if you will. And I believe the Lord is doing something here to help us as a church to understand that. I mean, it helped this early church. You remember what it says here? And we'll look at this again in a minute in verse number 11. And great fear came upon all the church. But look back up in verse number 5, if you will, and it talks about Ananias hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all them that heard these things. If you remember in chapter number 4, I talked about while they were there, while they were doing what they were doing, it says they had great power, and the apostles gave a witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now I want you to know there's some great fear that has entered into the equation. And God can do some great things, but sometimes you better look out what He's doing, because it will be great, and it'll be great in its actions and activity toward me and you. So you notice this about this hypocrisy. First of all, notice this, that the whole act was empowered by Satan himself. You see that? Peter looks at Ananias and said, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Now I want to tell you something. Satan, if you're saved, he cannot get you, but he can sure influence you. He may not be able to do anything about salvation, but he can sure mess up your life. You ever seen folks that the devil got into their families and broke it up? The devil got into some man's business and just destroyed somebody's family in some way, their kids or their other extended family, got into them and just broke everything up. And I know people can still recover out of those things, but I'm telling you, it will leave a damage and a mark on people's life. And brother, it's all because of our own self-centered pride. And the devil wants to get in, as he did here, and look what he has done. I mean, we don't know exactly who all is involved in this as far as beyond Ananias and Sapphira. Don't tell us about kids, doesn't tell us about, you know, any other family or whatever that may have been around, but we see them directly involved with it. So first of all, you see that this thing was an act that was powered by Satan himself. But second of all, it was an act that was perpetuated by those two involved. Now, what are you saying? I'm saying the devil might have slipped it into their thinking. He might have put it in their head. But they had to go ahead and act on it. You know what the book of James tells us? It says that sin starts out as lust. And then lust, when it gets to its place of building and working through a man's life, you get something in your head and you begin to think it and you begin to play with it. You begin to, you know, that little thought might run through there. But if you grab a hold of it and say, wait a minute, we're going to just take that and let's enlarge it. Let's play with it. Let's think on it. Let's multiply. Oh, yeah, and pretty soon, you know what you've done? The Bible said that sin, when it goes a little bit, I mean the lust, when it goes further, it becomes sin. And sin, when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. So there's lust, sin, and death all fall. And that's what I'm saying here. He said, look, why did Satan fill your heart to lie? And then you went ahead and did it. I mean, it was maybe the idea and the thought came from Satan, but they perpetuated it. I mean, Ananias sat down with his wife and he said, hey, why don't we do this? I've had this little thought run through my mind. And you know what? We could look like we're some kind of big shot. We could be as popular, as noted, or as talked about as Barnabas is. We could be like him. And let's just take, here's what we're going to do. And then they began to sit down and hatch and plot. And Ananias might have done it, but Sapphira jumped in there with him. Amen? Y'all remember how that goes, don't you? You remember all the way back in the Garden of Eden? You remember that story? You remember when Adam has failed before God? And God comes to Adam and says, Adam, why did you do what you did? Oh, buddy, it's a story as old as anything, isn't it? Pass the buck. The woman that you gave me, she did it. I mean, yeah, start pointing. I said, your fault. You gave that woman to her. Well, what has she done now? It's probably her fault. And then so he goes to the woman, and you know what she said? The serpent, it's his fault. She's passing the buck along too, isn't she? But you know what happens in the end? They all have to answer to God. Everybody stands, and the Lord judges them all. If you go back and look at that, you'll see what he says to Adam. You're going to get out here and sweat and work and plow and dig and have weeds and everything. Here's what you're going to have to deal with. The woman, you're going to be having pain and travail and childbirth. You're going to have, and the devil, he said, yeah, well, I got somebody who's going to step on. You might bruise his heel, but he's going to step on your head here eventually one day. What I'm saying is the devil will come to you, but hey, don't let him stay. Flip him away. Just like we were talking about there earlier when Jesus told Satan, he said, get thee behind me. That's what you and I need to do a lot of times. Say, devil, get out of here. I don't need to be around you right now. I mean, you've got to have strong enough faith to be like Jesus was when he went to the wilderness and was in his times of temptation, hungered for 40 days and 40 nights, hadn't eaten anything. The devil comes to him, and I want to tell you, the devil will come. I mean, if the Lord Jesus himself was bothered by the devil, then you and me ain't no better, okay? I mean, that may be poor English, but you got it, okay? I'm telling you, you and I are no better to be able to withstand the things that Satan's going to attack us with, but we'll have to be like Jesus. You know how he attacked it? He said, it is written. You and I need to stand on the Word of God. You and I need to stand on that Bible. So that's what he did. But this thing was perpetuated by Ananias and Sapphira. They just kept it up. They played with it. They enlarged upon it. And listen, he says to them, look what he says. Peter said to Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie the Holy Ghost, keep back part of the money? But look, he says in verse 4, while it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Listen, why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Why did you plot it on out? Like I say, the thought might have run through there. I want to tell you, there's some thoughts that run through my head. Amen? Let me tell you, there's some thoughts that run through your head. You heard the evangelist say this last week, and I've heard other preachers say it before too. If you knew me like I knew me, you might not want to ever hear me preach, because I ain't as good a guy as some of you might think so. But then again, if I knew you like you know you, I might just pack up my Bible and get out of here and leave you alone. Amen? I'm just saying, there's some things on the inside of every one of us that we, you know, I don't want anybody to know that. I don't want to tell that. I don't want to say, get that out here. But I can tell you, hey, there's some things that are conceived in our hearts, and that's where that sin blossoms. I mean, that's where it just explodes. It just overruns. And here it is, Ananias and Sapphira. He says, why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. I want you to notice the key element in this whole thing about deception is their pride. Satan whispers, man, look at them. You can be like them. He looks at it and tells them, you can be like Barnabas. Everybody's talking about Barnabas. Everybody's lifting him up. Everybody's praising him. Why don't y'all just go ahead and here's what you can do. And okay, that might run through your head, but you know what you say? Devil, get out of here. I ain't doing that. I'm not going to play that game. I'm not listening to you. But you know what? You sit there and begin to play with it and then get it molded and shaped and figured and planned and plotted, and pretty soon you're right there. You're right there. And look, the devil says, look, you don't have to give all that money. Just keep some, but tell them that was all of it. And man, it's going to make you look so good to all of these other people. They'll pat you on the back. They might take you out for dinner. They might let you sit up front. I mean, man, just think, oh, it's going to be great. And they sat there, yeah. And that's what he is, isn't he? He's always a liar and the father of lies is what the Bible tells us. So you see that. You see that. Here's what's happened. Here's the concept that we've got. But then notice, if you will, last of all, this evening, let's notice the consequences of this that become instructional. I mean, there is something for us to gain from this story. As a matter of fact, that's why it's here for us to, well, I know it's historical, okay? We say that, we say, well, that's just part of the history of the church. Yeah, but it's there for me and you to learn some things from this story. What are we going to learn from it? Well, first of all, notice this, that this is sin. But more than that, more than just saying that it's sin, you see what Peter says? Peter says, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back a part of the price of the land? You have lied to the Holy Spirit and you've lied to the church. You've got up and presented something as truth, and it wasn't that way. It wasn't that way. It really wasn't that way. And you've lied to the Holy Ghost. Now, you might lie to me, and you might lie to everybody in this building. You might, every one of us might lie to somebody about something, but I'm going to tell you something. You won't get by with it with God. You can lie, and I can tell you, the Holy Ghost knows. The Lord Jesus knows. God the Father knows. They know a lie from the truth. Some of the rest of us might, and these folks here would have been probably deceived. They would have probably applauded. Ananias and Sapphira, boy, they're great people. They might have done that. But do you know what God said? It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. This hypocriting around ain't going to work. I mean, look, this is a sin against God, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and His church. And that's what helps us to see that there's some instruction within this for every one of us. Notice this. First of all, dishonesty is dealt with by judgment. The dishonesty. I mean, again, if you look at it, it doesn't even make any sense to me. I don't know why they would just not say, we're giving you this, and this is part of what we have. I mean, why would you have to say that's all of it? But they had to look good. They had to have the appearance. They had to have that, oh, we're so holy and we're so good and we're so, you know, being a blessing to someone. Well, they could have done that and still come clean and said, we gave some, but we didn't give it all. They could have done that. But this dishonesty, and you see that dishonesty, here's the lesson, the instruction for me and you, it's dealt with by judgment. And God will do the same in all of our lives. He can do that anytime he gets ready to. Disobedience shows up now, and we see that it is detrimental. Look there in verse number 9 and notice. It said, then Peter said unto her, unto the Sapphira, how is it that you've agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. I mean, here it is, that disobedience. I mean, you know, Sapphira had a chance. He came to her and said, did you sell it for so much? And she said, yep. Because, see, her and her husband sat down and talked about it. She didn't know what had happened to him. And she still had a chance. Peter's still giving her a chance to fess up and tell the right story. But you know what she does? She said, I'm still going to be a disobedient hypocrite and tell the story that my husband told. Amen? I'll tell you, the best thing you and I can do is just simply come clean with God. I mean, dishonesty, and it's met with in the life of Ananias with judgment. Sapphira, her disobedience. Because, listen, I just in thinking about this, I'm thinking that maybe it wasn't her idea wholly to start with, but she began to buy in to her husband's story. And then he said, okay, this is what we're going to say. You're going to do that. Now, you got to do that. We both got to do it. Okay, you got to be in on this. Man, don't let somebody talk you in. You ever let somebody talk you into something that you knew was wrong? Knew that was just absolutely, I don't need to be doing it. I don't need to be associated with it. Man, I'll tell you, there's been a few times in my life that mom and daddy praying and being in church and all, finally, something slapped me in the face and said, hey, you don't need to be part of this. It ain't going to end well. And then there's been other times I was a dummy and I didn't listen to any of that. Amen. I just went ahead and done it anyway and boom, there I was in trouble. Amen. Well, I'm just telling you, disobedience. You know what the Bible tells about disobedience? What Samuel said to Saul, the king Saul, he said, disobedience is like the sin of witchcraft. Oh, my goodness. That sounds horrible, doesn't it? Well, preacher, I don't want to be called a witch or a warlock or anything. Well, yeah, none of us would. But he said, when you're disobedient, it's just as if you had done some wicked sin like that. It's just as bad. So here's the disobedience that's seen in the life of Sapphira, and it becomes so detrimental to her. Same thing that happened to her husband happens to her. And then you see that God has discipline that can be seen, and it's displayed before the whole church. That display of disobedience is right there. It says, he died and they buried him. Verse 10, then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. She died, and the young men came in, found her dead, carried her forth, and buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. I mean, here it is. Man, God put it out there and said, here's what I want you to see. And they saw it, and they feared God. Man, I'm telling you, Some preacher said, man, what if God just took care of every hypocrite and every sin, everything? Man, how full would churches be? It'd be a lot of folks getting picked off. Me and you might not be here, is what I'm saying. If God dealt with that just the way that he does here, it's by the mercies of God. And I want to tell you what, that provides me and you a place and an avenue and a time and a reason to come get some things right between us and the Lord. Now, I don't know where you stand tonight. I don't know where, man, I'm telling you, there's a lot of things. I come tell God and he already knows and you know, that we have from time to time said, God, here I am. I'm a mess and I've messed up and I've done wrong and I just have to come and beg and plead for some forgiveness for him. I just need to get that cleansing. Remember what Jesus, he was getting ready to wash Peter's feet over in John chapter 13. Getting ready, and Peter said, nope, don't want, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash feet, you'll have any part with me. He said, well, if that's the way it is, just wash me from head to toe. And he said, you're not getting this. He said, you're not understanding it. You don't have it figured out. He said, I'm going to wash your feet because you're out here in the dirt and the mess of the world, and it's going to get onto your feet as you walk through it. And you just need to come clean it and get clean with God. And maybe that's what the Lord is saying to somebody. Maybe it's somebody there on Facebook. Maybe it's somebody here. Whoever it may be, if God's dealing with your heart, speaking to you about some things, be a good time and a good day, good place to come take care of. Brother Ronnie, come on. Let's get ready to sing something tonight, if you would. Amen. Amen. Isn't that amazing that Peter gets to be the vehicle? And you know, I think this too, we're talking about that and thinking about Peter. It's kind of like this. He'd been so brash and so bold and so out.